Carson radio program at 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. We'll get to more phone calls here in a second. Who knew there was so much goddamn Green Hornet information out there? Now, for the first time in 2007, now more than ever, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the South, our good friend CNN radio correspondent and smooth jazz balladeer, Ed McCarthy. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good, Rick. Hey, happy New Year to you and everybody.
Happy to you, too, man. That was your New Year's. How was your Christmas? How was everything?
Everything was good. And, you know, you're kind of glad when it's all over. You know, I guess you did a little traveling. Did you take your surprise trip this year?
No. Well remembered. Look at you remembering the little intricacies of Rick Emerson's life. Now, we normally do that where my wife plans a trip and then I don't know where it is until we get to the airport. This year, we kind of got caught short. We got caught up, and before I knew it, we were obligated to go see my sister in Canada, although at the last moment I couldn't because I have no passport and I couldn't find my birth certificate. So that trip, we kind of pulled the ripcord on that, and I ended up just going out and hanging out in Seattle for a few days and doing a whole lot of
nothing. Wait a minute. That's not in effect yet, is it? Can't you just show your license or what?
The passport thing isn't in effect until January 23rd, but you do need your birth certificate.
Oh.
To go into Canada, and it's like, I don't even remember the last time I saw my birth certificate. Like, when is the last time, really, except to get a passport, when is the last time anybody ever needed their birth certificate? So that ended up, and fortunately, we figured that out before we got to the border. Because if we had driven and gotten to the border and then just been sent back home, that would have probably not been a great way to spend. My wife would not have been happy with me.
Not at all.
So
at all.
We just went to Seattle, hung out, and lived on room service for a few days. You know, we went in, we locked the door, and we just ordered room service for 3 days, watched bad television, ate poorly, and had the coffee delivered to us in the morning, and that was okay. It was low-key, and it was relatively stress-free.
Well, that's good. That's what you need.
So there you go. And everybody here had a bad New Year's Eve, but you know what? The year can't. It's all downhill or uphill. I never know whether to say it's all uphill or downhill, because if it's uphill, that means like it's hard work. But if it's downhill, that means it's getting worse. So I never know what to say there.
Well, level it off. We have to level it off.
That's what I'm saying. It's all smooth sailing from here on out. So there you go. Hey, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. It's this guy, Tim Savage, who works here, and he pointed out something. He really has his finger on the cultural zeitgeist, and he pointed out something that I had never really heard it put this way before, but once he said it, it absolutely crystallized, and I realized he was completely correct about this, which is that up until like 3 months ago, I had never, ever, ever heard of a trans fat. And now, not only have I heard of trans fats, I hate them, and yet I still don't know what they are.
You hate them, and you can't get them now, because they're phasing them out.
I hate them, and I'm afraid of them, and yet I never, it's like they went from there to enemy to gone, and I never even knew what they were. And so I guess it's pointless now, but just so I know, in case future generations ask me, what the hell is a trans fat?
Hydrogenated oil. And it's, they were putting in French fries and then all kinds of stuff, and New York knocked it out. You can't have it in any of the restaurants. So they went to this thing today where Starbucks, of all places, that's your neck of the woods for the headquarters. You know, they decided that they're going to go, they started with 10 cities today with no trans fat in any of their muffins or any of their donuts or any of the products they sell along with the coffee. And they had this morning in Atlanta, the one I went to, they were giving out samples of these muffins that were without trans fat. So, of course, naturally, I had to try them, and, you know, it wasn't bad. It tasted pretty good. You couldn't tell the difference. I mean, I guess if we've been poisoned for years, we didn't know it.
So is this, now, are trans fats what they used when they stopped cooking everything with, like, cow fat or whatever?
Yeah, exactly, and it's supposed to be better for you, because the trans fat stuff that goes into the thing, it can knock out the good cholesterol, and it'll heighten the bad cholesterol, and basically, they say it'll kill you.
So confusing. Let me just tell you this. Just speaking about Starbucks and lethality, I'm not a big fan of Starbucks coffee, but I will tell you this. As long as they make it so I can continue to eat that coffee cake that they sell, which is my Achilles heel, that Starbucks coffee cake, and do yourself a favor, McCarthy, never ever look at the calorie count on that food, because it's good, but seriously, a wedge of that Starbucks coffee cake is like 680 calories.
Exactly, and of course, that's probably a drop in the bucket as to what we had during the holidays, all of us,
oh,
you know,
man.
And they just kept, nipping away at all kinds of stuff, saying, oh, I'm going to have some of that. Let me try that cake. Let me try this. But, I did try that coffee cake this morning. That was the stuff. It was really good without the trans fat.
Yeah.
I never had it before with the trans fat, but I suppose, that was probably just as good.
It's my kryptonite. I have no power against it. They wave it in front of me, and it's like they know. It's like they can see me. I walk into Starbucks. I'm like, well, I'll just get a coffee. And they go, would you care for perhaps some coffee cake? And it's like I have a big thing on my forehead that says, serve this man coffee cake. It's like a caloric.
Gotta have it.
Yeah, it's like a caloric kick me sign. Let me ask you this, because we sort of poll everybody in this. What's the big coffee chain where you live?
Starbucks is big. I mean, it's all over the place. I mean, the little mom and pops are pretty much running out of business. But, we got the Starbucks. The Dunkin' Donuts is pretty popular.
Now, is Dunkin' Donuts, is that the same company as Tim Hortons?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Baumgarten used to go on about Tim Hortons all the time, and I always hear about that. But they're the same as like some donut place, but I could never remember what the hell.
I didn't know Tim Hortons is excellent.
Yeah, well, see, a guy gave me a can of it for Christmas, and I'm waiting to crack it open, but I'm looking forward to it. I hear good things about it. So, hey, wasn't your daughter going to pass through town at some point? Was that you?
She did, and I guess they got passed through really quickly because they moved them out to another location, and she's doing something else now. She started another job yesterday, so.
Maybe the allure of the Rick Emerson show is just much more gripping to you than to her.
Yeah, it was. Well, that was, I think one of those days she was, she got lost in the woods in Portland. Remember when they went, took that bike ride and they got lost in the trail or whatever?
Yeah. I think that should be the new official Oregon State motto. Welcome to Oregon. Don't get lost.
Yeah, well, you could be anywhere. Of course, after that, it was the stingray attack that she had went through. So
yeah, kind of a see, man. If, 2006 is a good year for everybody, but everybody's 2006 was good, but ended poorly.
Yeah, we're glad. Let's hope 2007's a lot safer. There's no doubt.
Had a bit of a ragged end to it. So.
Yeah, and a lot of those people got caught out in Denver with those storms. Yeah. I mean, they were unbelievable.
All right, my friend. Well, I'm glad you had a happy new year, and we will be speaking to you soon in the immediate future. And now I'm going to have to go get some Starbucks coffee cakes.
So I got your Constantini on the air, didn't I?
Oh, yeah. No, it's that we had did I mention we finally got to talk to Brian Blank?
Oh, that's the guy. No. That's who I'm thinking of. Who I'm thinking of. See, I pushed for that.
No, did you?
I did. I went behind the scenes, and I said, what's the deal on this?
Fantastic.
Well, we got him for you.
We wondered why, because we wrote him off. We called him. I'm like, well, I know you won't give us Brian Blank. No, you can have him. Well, I have you to thank for that. God bless you.
I gave myself up one day so they could get him on.
That is all the Christmas present the Rick Emerson Show ever needed. Thank you, Ed McCarthy.
We will talk to you soon.
Thank you, my brother. There you go. Ed McCarthy, CNN radio correspondent. How great is that?
He sounds like he talks like how I would picture Santa Claus to talk like.
Totally. Yeah. No. That's totally true. Ah, fantastic. All right. Tim Riley will be joining us here in mere seconds because we're going to continue this this TV discussion. We've got this. Rick, Friends was a spinoff of Married with Children. That's not true. Joey Tribbiani was based on the character Vinny Verducci, the son of one of Al's friends. Okay, well, that's not the same. If it's based on the character of, that's not a spinoff. The son of one of Al's friends and dated Kelly Bundy, which resulted in the spinoff Top of the Heap, which was retooled as Vinny and Bobby. Never mind, what about Hello Larry, which is a spinoff of Different Strokes. That was a 44. Yeah, Hello Larry, which took place in what city? Portland, Oregon, baby. Tim doesn't know, and Sarah doesn't remember.
I've heard the title before.
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Hello, Larry. Never mind.
It's part of the Portland curse, I guess.
It's true. Right up in bandits. We'll get Aaron and Timothy in a second. We're talking. I don't know how we fell into this conversation, because I guess both Tim and I, for completely separate reasons, came today meaning to talk about obscure TV shows for totally different reasons. Lisa, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, Rick. I love your show. I'm glad you guys are back.
Thank you.
You started this by talking about Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering what you were going to say about that.
I was just saying that Wonder Woman is... Well, I got lots to say about Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman, like Superman, is rife with symbolism and all kinds of weird layered meanings. So here's a fun fact about Wonder Woman, by the way, and this is complete... This is both fun and a fact. This is totally true. The guy's name escapes me, but the character of Wonder Woman... Wonder Woman was created by a psychologist, and the psychologist lived in a polyamorous relationship, by which I mean he was married and then also had a live-in mistress, or so almost a second wife. So it was him, wife number one, wife number two, and then I believe he had some children by both wives. They all lived together in one house, and he was a bondage enthusiast. So it's the greatest thing. It's this guy with multiple wives, and he's a shrink, and he likes to be tied up and beaten. And then he creates the character of Wonder Woman, which is just, when you know that and you go back and look at Wonder Woman, it just makes it much more interesting.
It all makes sense.
Totally. And I was going to say that Wonder Woman, rather than bringing this Bionic Woman crap back, because it was a bad show to begin with, and it's a very dated concept now. They ought to bring Wonder Woman back because Wonder Woman is timeless, and Wonder Woman appeals to women because it's a strong female character. It appeals to men because it's a hot chick who ties guys up and kind of smacks them around. It appeals to geeks because they're geeks. It appeals to kids because it's a superhero. This, now more than ever, really, if they could just find the right girl to play her, this is the time for a Wonder Woman show. That show, if they could do it right, would be a monster hit right now.
I would agree.
Fantastic. Excellent. Excellent. Thank you, Lisa. Are you spreading the word about the show?
Every day.
Cool. You call us anytime.
Thanks.
All right. There you go. That's Lisa. You will note that I made it through the entire call without commenting on the sultriness of Lisa's voice.
Her voice was very sultry. It was very breathy.
Or asking what she looked like.
Play Misty for me.
I like that blue shirt you're wearing today. Anywho, let's see. Aaron, not the geek. Hello, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, one of the parallels with the Lone Ranger and the Green Hornet, I'm not sure the other caller mentioned, was the idea was the Green Hornet is actually the Lone Ranger's nephew.
So did the guy mention that?
It says here that Sentinel owner, he owns a Sentinel, and millionaire Britt Reed was the grandnephew of John Reed, the Lone Ranger. And Britt modeled his life on the famous ancestor right down to his life's mission, choice of sidekick and job-related gear. Instead of a Native American sidekick, Britt worked with another ethnic outsider.
Fantastic. So, go ahead.
There was a couple other weird spinoffs. That stupid spinoff of Growing Pains with the coach and his, like, three daughters?
Anyone? Sarah?
No, I don't know.
A spinoff of Growing Pains.
Was
it wasn't
it?
The show Coach. Coach wasn't
no.
the spinoff.
No, it was that, you know, fat, bald coach from the high school
right.
and moved somewhere else to a Catholic school, and it was him and the hijinks of his three daughters.
Fantastic. I had no idea. I know. I never saw that.
And then there was once a show, I don't know if you recall this one, it's really bizarre, but it was a comedy, mind you, of... It was based in a rector, a church rectory. It was like three or four priests in the... hijinks
Oh, that sounds really familiar. And was this in the 80s?
It was.
This or the 80s, so I don't remember the name of the show, but it would have been about the same time as the show Amen.
Yes.
Which, unless that's the show you're thinking of, was it a primarily black cast?
No, Amen was a spinoff of, like, the Jeffersons and 227.
Yes, yes, it was.
But this was totally, this was like three or four Catholic priests in a rectory.
Oh, you could never do that now.
You know, child molesting and...
Yeah.
And
no, Clyde and I don't have it here, but Clyde and I did one of those zany morning show parody commercials once for a wacky sitcom called Father Knows Best. And it was all about, like, you know, you'll have to take me in the back in the rectory. And it was, like, a lot of terrible... because Amen was Sherman Helmsley and the guy who plays the black mayor in Any Given Sunday, and they were all in a Baptist church. You're right, and that was a spinoff of 227. Now I'm going to have to look up. I'm writing all these down so I can be looking all these up. Fantastic.
And one other kind of geeky show that I really enjoyed was on for like one season and canceled in like the early 90s or late 80s, if anyone else remembers this, was the Knights of Covington Cross or the Knights of Covenant Cross. Do you remember that one?
I totally remember the Knights of Covington Cross. Absolutely. That's and on all of these shows on so like Auto Man on for like a day and then canceled. So fantastic. Aaron, I know you're not Aaron the Geek, but really, Aaron, you are a geek.
Well, I try.
No, it's true. Well done, sir.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Aaron, not the geek. Fantastic.
Well, if for any reason Aaron has to relinquish his title.
Yeah, seriously. If he has to turn over the tiara, I think we may... Timothy, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. This is Timothy, the cat who called in for the Sean Penn movie.
Oh, yeah, right. How did that work out for you?
It worked out. I'm on screen. Anyways, old school TV history. The Flintstones was a direct ripoff or spinoff of the Honeymooners.
Right. Right.
Then, of course, we got the ripoffs. We've got, like, I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched. Then we got the Munsters, then we got Addams Family.
Well, there was this whole mirror image show thing there, because they also had Green Acres, which is city folks in the country, and then you had the Beverly Hillbillies, which is country folks in the city, yeah.
No. Of course, Tim mentioned Mama's Family from the Carol Burnett Show, and then we got the dynasty of Fonzie, or Happy Days, because you got Mork, right? And
right.
Then briefly after Mork was over, the dancing pizza owner, Ditch Jockey guy,
yeah.
That character had a show that was on for about a week.
No, I think All in the Family, well, not All in the Family, Happy Days, which is itself a spin-off of Love American Style.
Okay.
Because Happy Days spun off Love American Style. Love American Style then spun off into Happy Days. Happy Days then gave us Joni Loves Chachi. Happy Days also gave us... Now, Mork and Mindy was a spin-off of...
Happy Days.
Well, I think Mork and Mindy was also a spin-off of Happy Days, wasn't it?
He was a character, Fonzie,
yeah.
And he was a reoccurring character that popped in out of thin air from
and
this place called Ork.
Also Laverne and Shirley.
Exactly.
And
ding, ding.
I don't...
Was there a squiggy?
I was just going to say...
I don't remember...
I don't think it ever got off the ground, but I think they tried to do a Lenny and Squiggy spin-off. God damn, this is why...
I don't think it got off the ground, but I remember I was hoping it was going to happen.
Yes.
You know? But you know who we have to blame for all this is Mr. Spelling.
No, it's true. Well, no, blame or thank, depending on how one looks at it.
I'm grateful to be an American. I've watched British TV for a couple months, and we should be grateful for the crap that they have to serve us with.
All right, thank you.
Have a good day.
You as well. Timothy.
We steal all their stuff, too.
It's true. That's the other thing. Yeah,
they do it better. We water it down.
Yeah, the white man doesn't... The white man steals from all kinds of people, even other white men, like the British. Because you're right, because we'll take, like, Man Around the House, and we make it into Three's Company, and we take One Foot in the Grave. We did do that better, though. We took One Foot in the Grave. No, it's not One Foot in the Grave. It's Is it One Foot in the Grave that became All in the Family? Oh, I'm not talking about stuff that's so... No one anywhere cares about that. Let's see. I need a sounder for this one. This is for the first time in, 2007.
Hey! I'm all up in his grill.
Carol the Token Italian. Hello.
Hello and Happy New Year.
Yes, to you as well.
Okay, the show that the other guy was describing with the three daughters and the dad was Give Me a Break.
Give Me a Break wasn't
with Mel Carter.
No.
Yes.
You're crazy. That's not spun off of Growing Pains.
He was a cop, and he had three daughters, and Nell Carter was the maid.
Well, I know the show, but he was talking about a show that was a spinoff of Growing Pains, I think, right? Isn't that his deal? He was talking about Growing Pains being spun off, and I don't think Give Me a Break was a spinoff of anything. I think Give Me a Break might have been its own self-contained show. I'm not positive, though.
My first mistake.
Now I don't know. You've made me doubt myself. Now I have no... All I remember about Give Me a Break is that every episode, just like in every episode of like V, they would find some reason for a reptile to get his face ripped off. In every episode of Give Me a Break, they would find a reason to have Nell Carter sing.
Yes, and then Joey Lawrence came on the show.
Joey Lawrence.
And that gave her a reason to tap dance with him.
So, do you remember... I swear to God this happened. Do you remember the episode where Joey Lawrence dressed up in blackface?
Yes.
That's comedy. Right there. That's
that.
That's American comedy at its finest. It's like it's some episode where, like, you know, it's like, well, and here's Joey at his school pageant. And then, like, Nell shows up like, I'm so proud of my little man. He's going to be in the school pageant. Joey, come on out here and do your act. And then, like, I swear to God, I'm not exaggerating. This
no,
is what happened.
Joey
Lawrence comes out on stage in, like, a top hat and, like, the white gloves and a cane and blackface and sings Mammy. And he just goes, Mommy! You know, and it's like...
And Lenny and Squiggy did have a show, but it only lasted for a couple of weeks.
Ah, so it was on and then just imploded.
Uh-huh.
All right, fantastic.
Yes.
All right, thank you, Carol the Token Italian.
Thank you, and Happy New Year.
You as well.
I'm all up in his grill.
Fantastic. It's wrong to have token ethnic people call in. Don't do that. Chuck, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
I was describing, this isn't a sequel, but I was describing a show I remember when I was a kid to my friend. I said, yeah, this, these guys were in like a prison, and they didn't know why. It was like a big city, and every time they tried to escape, a big ball would come up out of the ocean and roll like a big huge balloon and roll them up and bring them back.
The Prisoner.
I was having a flashback.
Yeah.
But have you ever seen The Prisoner?
The Prisoner, which I'm not a big fan of, but I know people who are, and that's a bizarre freaking show.
I haven't seen it since I was like probably 8 or 10.
It's just as weird as you remember. It's not your imagination or your memory. It's freaking weird. It's the weirdest program ever made. Yeah.
Well, you know, what's weirder is having memory. You don't know if they're suppressed memories or not, you know? And then when somebody doubts you, like, no way, man, you're crazy.
No, it's true. And I'll remember things like that sometimes if people think that I'm just really crazy, that I'm hallucinating somebody. The Prisoner was and is, I think you can get it now. I think you can get it on DVD. The Simpsons did a Prisoner reference at one point, actually. There was an episode of The Simpsons that ended where they were suddenly, like, Homer woke up from a dream and they were all in that prison.
Yeah. I should probably check it out on DVD. It might give me a flashback or something.
No, I would suggest going to Movie Madness, which is on 41st and Belmont. That's your best bet for that.
All righty.
All right, there you go. Thank you. There you go. Thank you. That's Chuck. Yeah, if you want to buy it, I mean, CD Game Exchange can probably order it for you, but it's a niche show. If you want to go rent it, Movie Madness is probably your best place to go for that. That's a great place. We have a break here. We get back. Oh, the guy has an answer. There's somebody with an answer to the spinoff of Growing Pains. And then, I remember this show. Somebody has a question about this, but I remember this program. All right, there you go. See what stray comments during the show can do.
But I want to talk about House Bill 69C. Not here.
And we'll come back with more from Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Mere minutes away, ladies and gentlemen. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. The Rick Emerson Radio Program, 503-733-2970. In a few seconds, Tim Riley rejoins us as we visit the Ministry of Truth. It's 503-733-2970. Oh, I got a weekly radio address, too. We'll get to that from The Onion. You can email, email us if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. We'll get Jude in a second. This is Steve. You're on The Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, big fan of the show. The show the guy was talking about, the spinoff from Growing Pains, yep, is Just the Ten of Us.
Just the Ten of Us. That sounds vaguely familiar, but I don't think I ever saw it.
Yeah, it was a big family. I guess there were 8 kids, and the mom and the dad, and each kid had their respective personalities that fit the sitcom stereotypes.
Fantastic. Of course they did. Fantastic. Excellent. See, I hate not knowing stuff, and now I got it.
All right, take care.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Rick.
So that's more than it is enough.
Yes. Here we go. This is from Christine. Rick, the show in question is Just the Ten of Us and starred Heather Langenkamp. Heather Langenkamp. Heather Langenkamp was What's-Her-Guts in the original Nightmare on Elm Street. She was the girl in Nightmare on Elm Street, and then she was in Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, and Nightmare on Elm Street New Nightmare, which is, I think, the 8th one. If memory serves, the coach from Growing Pains was Catholic and had a huge family that relocated, thereby prompting the storylines. And then she gave a sweet revenge when Nightmare on Elm Street came out right after that. Heather Langenkamp, well, there was a time when I thought she was really hot. Maybe she is. I don't know. It's hard to tell what girls who were really hot and girls who were just really hot because you were an idiot, horny teenager. Jude, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hey.
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 I just wanted to tap your knowledge. I remember I just grew up loving Mary Hartman.
I'm sorry, I'm still back on you wanting to tap my knowledge.
Sorry.
That's okay. What?
Mary Hartman.
Mary Hartman, which was a short-lived show. That was only on, I sound like the Mr. Skin of lame sitcoms. Mary Hartman was only on for like 2 years because the star went.
Louise?
Yeah, she went crazy.
Dolphin.
Yeah, she went nuts. Have you ever seen by chance on like TV Land, the episode of Saturday Night Live that she hosted around that era?
I did.
Yeah.
I'm a Mary Hartman fan. For Christmas this year, my mother found a friend who actually had tapes of Mary Hartman forwarded back when all VHS was just starting. And they transferred it. So I have every Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman.
How many? So it was what? It was like two seasons, maybe? Something like that?
Well, I've got, well, it's 28 episodes, so maybe, I know, 14 maybe.
So that's about,
back then,
so I think it was still 22, so that's maybe a season and a half, although it might have been 14. Yeah, and then she was just a little unstable, and I think she had a serious drug habit, too, and then she just went a little crazy.
Maybe that explains why I enjoyed the show.
No, the show was pretty great, but she was just a little too nutty, and I think, if I remember correctly, that episode of SNL that she hosted, she ended up at one point just sitting on the stage and, like, babbling to herself, and I think they have to heavily edit that episode in syndication now, because there's long sections where she was just completely, like, lost in her own oblivious world of chemical delusion.
You know, when she played the Mary Hartman character, that's kind of how she was as well. So perhaps that's why she did it well.
Yeah.
My main thing is, I know there's a spinoff from this show, and it's really racking my brain what it was called. It was a spinoff from Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman.
Well, let's see.
It was the guy who was married to the next door partner. And I had someone tell me it was something about Fernwood.
Oh, Fernwood tonight. Fernwood tonight.
Oh, okay. So it was Fernwood.
Well, let me double check right now. I'm going to look it up right now.
It was something. It was the husband of the gal next door, Mary Hartman. Mary Hartman that did a. It was like a mock. Tonight show.
Fernwood, yeah, Fernwood Tonight was a mock. It was a mock late night show.
Okay, but cool. I'm not losing my brain.
All right, now see, and normally I try to pretend that I just know everything, but and I try to feign it. But right now I was just looking it up on the internet to see if that was the case. But yeah, so Fernwood Tonight, but I didn't even know that was a spinoff of Mary Hartman. So Fernwood Tonight, which really was a trailblazing show, because without Fernwood Tonight, you wouldn't have the Larry Sanders Show or Sports Night or any of those things where it's a show about a show.
Well, and that's where I thought of you, because you pretty much connect those dots. Of, you know, what is it, singularity and obtuseness, and I thought maybe that would be it.
Is that a compliment?
It actually is.
All right. Jude, how did you discover the radio program here?
Oh, loved it, forever and ever, before you were even on a long hiatus, which thank you for keeping your website up and running.
Oh, not at all.
Totally appreciated when you got around to throwing us in what you and Lara were doing.
Oh, great. Well, I'm glad you're out there. You spread the word, you call us anytime.
All the time.
All right, thank you. That's Jude. There you go. Fernwood Tonight, that's kind of an obscure way. That was Fred Willard, I think.
Yep.
Was on that. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, the man who started this entire long discussion of Fernwood Tonight and Heather Langenkamp, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
And long last, the final funeral for Gerald Ford is over. Apparently, there were several funerals going on nationwide with flag-draped caskets.
Is this like the directors?
Like
there's like Gallagher 1 and Gallagher 2. This Gerald Ford funeral 1 and 2, depending on what time zone you live in.
So wherever you live, chances are you had your own Gerald Ford funeral.
We should have had our own. If we've been on the air, we should have gotten like a bald guy. It just lay there, and we could have had like a proxy funeral for Gerald Ford. That would have made people angry.
That would have been good, too.
Well, next time.
So let's check in at the White House and see how that great new plan for the Iraq strategy is going.
I think he's fairly far along. Obviously, everybody's eager to find out when the speech is going to be, and at the earliest proper date, we will let you know.
George Bush, I'm sorry. George just snorted there. George Bush is in the back with like a bunch of glue and glitter, desperately trying to get his project done for the holidays. It's just not coming along fast enough.
Yes, indeed. The president is committed to winning, in quotation marks, the war in Iraq.
Now, the president determined to make sure that we get to the point where we have an Iraq that can sustain government and defend itself. And he certainly understands difficulties that may arise, and he also understands the even more vital importance of addressing them and moving forward.
Their cubicle land is almost capable of governing itself.
And what should we take from the fact that the president is committed to winning, in quotes? When you put something in quotes, that means that you don't really mean that. You mean something related to that, but not that. So we're not really committed to winning as such. We're committed to a thing like, but...
Number two.
Yeah, so we're committed to a thing that's like winning, but not actually winning. But it's sort of, we're committed to the carob of the winning world. All right. Well, fantastic. Thanks.
Thanks for that. Meanwhile, ExxonMobil is accused of questionable tactics to raise doubts about global warming.
No!
The Union of Concerned Scientists said ExxonMobil borrowed tactics from the tobacco industry and funneled $16 million to groups that challenge global warming.
I'm appalled! I cannot believe what I'm hearing!
Is there no dignity left in this world of ours at long last?
There is when you learn that Mario Lopez has been selected to host this year's Miss America pageant in Las Vegas.
Christ. Are they just going to have it at, like, scores? They're just going to cut out the middleman and just have it at Jiggles this year?
It says, I don't sing, and I don't dance.
That is the perfect print, rap.
We're good. His brief marriage to Ellie Landry was annulled in 2004.
Is that really all they can dig up for this guy?
Yeah. That's all the dirt on Mario Lopez.
Well, he hasn't really done anything since Saved by the Bell.
He was on the Dick Clark View program.
What kind of a the story is that? Where the guy who did something 3 years ago. You know, here's... never mind. I was going to talk about that Miss USA thing, but it's passed. It's done. It's finished. It's over. Because she's... Man, but did we all over the break, did we all see the photographs of the whole Miss USA?
Yes.
The Miss New Jersey, where she had her business out.
Oh, yeah. With her and the other girls?
Her and the other girls, and one of her and the guy, and she's kneeling, simulating an intimate act, and it's a sequence as though she was providing mama soft sustenance to another woman, and there's a whole bunch of those. And, you know, never mind. I'm not even, I had this long, I even made a note to myself about it. Let's see, you bastards, I'm working even when I'm not, even if my wife forcibly takes me to another city, so that I can't be coming to work, I'm still making notes. Well, you'll have to trust me, it's here somewhere. But I made a bunch of notes to myself about crap that I wanted to talk about, and one of them was the stupid Miss USA thing with Donald Trump, and as John Stewart pointed out, apparently the lesson is that you can only sexually exploit yourself if it's for Donald Trump. The moral is that you have to be chaste and pure-looking unless Donald Trump is making money on it. And I also noted this. Oh, here we go. Miss USA. You know, here's the thing that nobody commented about this entire time, and I realize this was a story from like a month ago. I just wanted to say this is the thing, Miss USA. They were noting in the story over and over again that it was all horrifying and awful because she was a drunkard and she was getting her nude on in public and so forth and making out with other women and then like falling down in the gutter and whatever. And the thing that irritated me that no one ever mentioned is how they mentioned all four of those things as though they were equally bad. Falling down drunk, getting nude in public, using illicit drugs, and then kissing someone of the same sex. And no one in the media ever pointed that out. That apparently, to be Miss USA, apparently, like being a drug fiend and kissing someone who has the same genitals of you, they're equally bad. Apparently, to be representative of America, one cannot engage in gay activity at all. And no one ever pointed that out. No one anywhere in the newscast ever asked why that particular thing of those four, like why that was on the list with the other three. And then I have this thing here about codeine. Oh, I shouldn't tell that story. Well, never mind. I'll get to the codeine story later. And then I had another thing I was going to... Wait, here's Tim Riley.
Well, one more, then you get back to it. The big question is, should we glue the nation's tallest Sitka spruce tree back together? Did you know that we have the largest...
Ad.
No, it's still there. The tallest Sitka spruce tree in America, it is 750 years old.
But the wind...
206 feet high, and it's ready to topple over.
Yeah.
So people are wondering what to do about it, so they kind of come up with an epoxy or cement to put it back together again.
You can't do that.
Well, people are thinking about it, and they're going to make an attempt to do so.
No.
It's a big tourist attraction.
Yeah, I know. It just seems like that's the way nature, you know, nature giveth and nature taketh away.
Kind of reminds me of that. A story back in New Hampshire with the old man in the mountain. Those rocks toppled down, and they wanted to put the rocks back up on the hillside with glue or something, and people just said, leave the rocks there.
They should
just put up a picture of it where it once was.
They should have made it like a big macaroni sculpture. Just like a big dried pasta man on the side. They should totally do that. When national monuments decay, they should repair them with dried pasta. That's fair. Why did I write down...
Or beer cans.
Why did I write down codeine in big letters?
I don't know.
I'm trying to remember.
Did you take some codeine?
Yeah, but I was going to say, but how...
perhaps he's feeling better now.
Well, I was going to say that how appropriate, though, that I can only remember part of the story. It's all a bit fuzzy. I remember taking it, and then the rest of the story. It must have been interesting at the time. The rest of the story is all a bit blurry. I'd recommend taking that if you have it, by the way. If you have any laying around the house, don't wait. Take it now.
Call us right away.
Call us now. Talk to Steve. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
Hold on. I just want to point out, I was talking about the Miss Universe thing. That would have been a lot more interesting if it had been like a month ago. I just wanted to get
an old show for you. I believe it was Seven Brides for Seattle. Seven Brides for Seattle?
I believe you're asking the wrong person, sir.
You don't know.
Here Come the Brides.
Noel's an exposure.
Hold on. Tim has got it. Tim says it's called Here Come the Brides.
Oh, Here Come the Brides, yeah.
What is it?
God, I've seen it. Remember, was it Bobby Sherman on that show?
Yes, it was. He was a teen idol at that time.
Bobby Sherman.
Yeah.
Really?
Seven Brides. That was a wacky one. I think it was up in Seattle. But then there was Northern Exposure. That was a pretty cool show.
Northern Exposure was great, although not really. Obscure, just sort of one of those. It was kind of an arty show. That was like sort of one of those thinking people shows.
Watching
this brought back a lot of memories of sitting in front of the TV when I was a little kid, you know.
Northern Exposure was sort of like a cuter version of Twin Peaks to me. It was sort of a quirky little town.
Then there's always The Rifleman. That was a great show with Chuck Connors, wasn't it?
And we've just degenerated into Steve's list of things he likes.
Yeah.
What kind of cereal do you like, Steve?
Some of the old good ones. And there was
How about My Little Margie?
Well, hey, thanks a lot, guys. You guys have a great day.
Okay, thank you, sir. Whatever happened to Crawler?
See, he took codeine.
Codeine. My faithful companion. The Northern Exposure was just sort of like, it was like a nicer, sweeter version of Twin Peaks. It was just, Twin Peaks and then Northern Exposure, which really, those two shows created, and then we really have to draw the curtain down on this, created an entire subgenre of programming, which is the quaint little town or quirky little town. Because think about how many shows since Northern Exposure, especially, I'm looking at you, Gilmore Girls, are based on the quirky little town and they're all these sort of weird, like bizarre versions of Mayberry, sort of. I would also like to know, by the way, that as I was talking about Miss Universe, Scotty, I was listing, kissed other women, did drugs, fell down drunk. Scotty's typing on the screen. Those are all sweet, by the way. And then he noted, she'd be Miss Universe with those, and then credentials spelled crudentials. C-R-U-D, crudentials.
Well, his degree is in broadcasting. It isn't in liberal arts or anything.
It's not really in
that
spelling.
That might serve him well in life.
Not really in spelling or knowing how anything is put together. Rick, since we're fantasizing... that is to say you, sir. Since you, emailer, are fantasizing about who... I was not fantasizing in any way, not even when the chick with the hot voice was on the phone. How about Jessica Alba? I'm so tired of people saying that. Jessica Alba make a terrible Wonder Woman. She's tiny, for one thing. Just because she's got big hooters doesn't mean she should... Not every woman with big melons can be Wonder Woman, sir.
Speaking of the Gilmore Girls, I bet that girl would... who's the one who plays the daughter?
Liddell?
Yeah, I think she'd be good.
I don't think she's... I don't think
busty
she's...
Busty enough?
I didn't say that. Why are you always going to make it about breasts?
Because you were just talking about breasts.
Well, I'm just saying, people always seize on Jessica Alba because she's got large bosoms. And they're not like that large. It's just that she's really tiny. It's just that she's a very tiny girl. And she's photographed in a way, there's a lot of duct taping going on in there, I think. As opposed to Jennifer Connelly, who was an actual, like very voluptuous woman at one point, not anymore. Alexis Bledel, it had nothing to do, it's not about her womanly cakes. It's just that she's kind of, it's not that she's unattractive, but she's kind of odd looking. She's not ugly, but she's a little weird looking. I mean, she's odd.
She was really pretty in Sin City.
She was very, that's because she was a whore. And therefore sexy. I say, giving everyone an perhaps unwanted window into my psyche. She's got like the cleft chin and her, she's got, sort of, I mean, don't get me wrong, she's not unattractive. But Wonder Woman, I think, is very traditionally, sort of very pretty, but then very sort of aggressive type of woman. That's the other thing about Alexis Bledel. She doesn't look like she could beat your ass at all. She's a very non-aggressive looking girl. But the mom, if she were younger, Lauren Graham, a hottest TV mom ever. Now, if she were younger and was able to kind of get in shape and whatever, she would make a great Wonder Woman. And then he just signs it, Work the Mojo. Yeah, Work the Mojo. And then here's a guy who's just sent me a list of women who've played whores in the movie. And then he's ranked them all by relative hotness. Who wants to hear some?
I do.
Rick, he says, about your ranking of whores, I don't...
This sounds like a good promo piece.
Attention Lars Larson listeners who perhaps have just flipped by here by accident. Attention CBS advertisers and management.
Radically different.
Hi, Rick. Yeah, I don't know if I can come up with a better whore on film than Elizabeth Shue. No, I don't think you can. See, because this, there's some other guy where he says, some other email here where he says, speaking of movie hookers, he says, what about Julia Roberts? See, Julia Roberts is the worst movie prostitute ever. I never thought when I woke up this morning I'd be spending a long time talking about whores on film. She's the worst movie prostitute ever. Who knows why? Anyone, go.
Hmm.
I think she seems too rehearsed.
He's close to what I'm thinking anyway, Sarah.
I don't know, too refined?
She's too chaste. Can you actually close your eyes and picture? And I don't mean that in a crude way, but I mean...
Those little flossing things.
Yeah, when you think about Julia Roberts and her... What's her character's name, Sarah?
I have no idea.
Really? I thought all chicks knew that movie like backwards
and forwards. I haven't seen that movie since college, I think.
When you think about Julia Roberts as the hooker in Pretty Woman, in no way can you actually see her being a hooker. Like, that's the thing about Elizabeth Shue. Like, you have no doubt that's a girl who... what is the phrase I'm looking for? Well, blah, 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 blah. Give me $5, make you holla. That's a girl who does that. Julia Roberts is just like the most virginal, pure hooker ever depicted in a film. Like, I don't even think they ever show her nude. I don't even think they ever show her kind of, like, implying that she ever engaged in any kind of sex.
Maybe she's like a Mormon hooker.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. She's very much like a Marie Osmond hooker. So, no, she actually is the worst hooker ever on film because she's completely unrealistic, completely unviable as a hooker, and plus the whole movie's about her redemption and her so forth, and you can't be redeemed if your character doesn't have anything to be redeemed from it. She's just a completely scrubbed vanilla hooker, right? I won't have it. Not in my house. No, sir. What about Jane Fonda in Clute? Yeah, there you go. Charlize Theron in Monster. No, thank you. No, thank you, sir. Rick Emerson votes too scary. Shelley Long in Night Shift. How about Shelley Long in Nothing? Let's see. How about Catherine Deneuve? Let's see. How about Heather Graham? Heather Graham wasn't a whore. She was a porn star. There's a difference. No, there's none of these are no. It's all about Elizabeth Shue. I really feel...
What was this show supposed to be about today? What may have been planned?
I don't know. You know, the funny thing is, I just got an email in my...
It matters at this point.
I just gonna.
Maybe we need a second channel for a show to go on.
This should be the HD.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That'll be one of those HD commercials. Did you know that if you listen to the HD, there are exciting channels between the channels where Rick Emerson just belches and talks about whores in his underwear all day long in exciting stereo sound? Go spend $5,000 for a radio now, won't you please?
The line stretches around the block.
The best part is, by the way, that I just got in my inbox yesterday from CBS upper management the yearly request that we put together a composite tape of the radio station representing for any and all advertisers who might be unfamiliar with our product exactly what kind of radio and entertainment we engage in here. I'll be sure to box up this whole day and send it over to Susan Reynolds.
This will be part of the box set.
Fantastic. Let's see. Do I dare take any more of these? Well, let me take these, and then,
we're not taking any more.
And then seriously. We're gonna take these, and then I think we're pretty much done.
No.
And I'm only taking these because they're about whores and Wonder Woman.
So if you want to get online right now...
Seriously. If you're not calling about whores or Wonder Woman, don't bother calling. Mark, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Hey, you know, not the cutest, but Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, as a whore? Yes.
It's a fantastic scene, if you remember it.
Oh, I do. You're talking about the scene in front of the mirror where she takes off her top.
I do.
Yeah, as a 13-year-old boy, that scene was a revelation to me. And her bosoms were never, ever, ever again as pronounced. It's like she got them enlarged just for that one film.
You got to admit, there was something about him.
And I'm even willing to overlook the fact that she kind of looks like a man for those. That was a great movie, too. And and they didn't try to pretty her up or make her all pure. Because, you know, and remember that one time that, like, there was a John over at the house. And, you know, and Dan Aykroyd was there. And then there was that scene where she said, You know, I've got $50,000 and it's in T-bills earning interest. I got another 3 years on my back, you know, and it's like she was great and her name was Ophelia. How great was that?
She seemed the part, didn't she?
She did seem indeed. She seemed like a real honest to goodness whore. You're right.
All right. Take care, Rick.
Thank you, sir. All right. Two left. Gabe, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. I was just thinking about the perfect Wonder Woman would be Storm Large.
I think, you know, but you are in the ballpark there. Absolutely. I mean, Storm Large, here's the problem with casting Storm Large as Wonder Woman, is it's kind of the problem with casting Pierce Brosnan as James Bond, that it's almost too perfect that it doesn't, it's almost like so obvious that it doesn't work somehow. And I remember my friends and I objected to Pierce Brosnan as Bond for so long because we're like, no, it's just too perfect. It wouldn't work. And, you know, but you're right. But Storm has exactly what a Wonder Woman has to have, where she's hot, but she looks like if you just crossed her, she would break your spine and was capable of doing so. I could totally see that.
I wouldn't be worried about her not using the rope enough.
No. Okay. And we're now creepy. All right. Thank you, sir. Okay. Back in the cage. Let's just finish now, shall we? Let's be done. No? Storm would be great.
That is a good choice.
It just, but again, it's almost so perfect that it's like having two magnets, you know, of the positive ends, and they sort of they balance each other out, or they wash each other out. Kind of hurts my brain to think about it. Yeah. All right. Anywho. Okay, and we're done. We're done with that. I'm back in. We're gonna have a whoreless final hour. Whoreless and Wonder Womanless final hour, maybe. Lest things get slack. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, and we'll talk to our good friend Dennis Pittenbarger. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.